plastic bag, drifting through the wind, wanting to start again. Do you ever feel this so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in? Do you ever feel already buried deep, 6 feet under screens and no one seems to hear a thing? Do you know that there's still a chance for you, 'cause there's a spark in you, you just gotta ignite the light and let it shine. Just own the night like the 4th of July, 'cause baby you're a firework. Come on, show 'em what you work, make 'em go as you shoot.
Hello, my darlings. It is Wednesday, the 14th of August, and it's actually really beautiful out there. You are listening to the Cityspell Show. I'm your host, Lisa Lee, and your other host, the titillating and empowering and gorgeous, unbelievable Teresa Savina. T, how are you doing, baby?
I'm fine, and would you stop titillating me? Unless you're going to be titillating yourself. Because you're just as freaking awesome. Okay, there we go. I've said it again and again and again and again. Okay, hi.
So what are you up to this fine day?
Oh, just sitting here twiddling my thumbs and you know, maybe doing things I shouldn't. But, you know, hey, that's me.
But, so what have you been up to, anything?
Well, the only thing I really did this last weekend was me and two of the gals from Those Who Honor Dead Things. That's the only way I can describe us. We needed a day off. So, you know, we went out to Lake Rebecca and brought our drums and all our stuff and goodies for the critters. And we went down into the lake area, and there was a bunch of people out on the dock, and we're thinking, no problem. So we walked down to the end of the beach, past where the swimming was, because there was no swimming going on. And we're just setting up all our stuff, and we're burning our incense and all, you know, doing all that fun stuff. And then we're making offerings to the little animals, and it was really hilarious because I had a bunch of apples and some zucchini. And I'm walking along the wooded section of the beach, and there is absolutely, positively no one down there at all. So I'm throwing my apples out in the woods. Woo, woo. And about the fifth one, the apple came back.
Wait, what?
Yes, I thought, well, that was interesting. It didn't quite come all the way out, but I heard it move back at me in a throne type thing. And I'm looking in them woods. There is nobody freaking back there. So I keep throwing more apples and whatever. So then Shelly goes and she's putting her apples back. She's chucking apples. And the next thing she knows, there's an apple thrown back that lands onto the beach. And I'm like, oh, we got us a Bigfoot. There's a Bigfoot back there. He's going, thanks, but no thanks.
His tummy is full.
Yeah, I got a full tummy. Besides, I didn't like that zucchini you threw. Okay, so then we did all that. We were doing our thing, you know. And then we're down there and we start drumming. Now, where the beach is, if you turn your back, it's a hill that goes up to get out of there.
Okay.
So we're there and we're drumming away and Shelly's singing, and all of a sudden I hear in the background a little boy going, I like it. And I turned and I looked, and up at the top there was like a group of like 15 people just watching us listening to us as we're drumming away. So yeah, that was our fun time. We had a lot of fun. Yeah.
So did you ever find out who or what Chupacabra was throwing apples back at you?
No, we did not. I mean, we looked in there, and there was no physical person there.
Oh, that's wild.
So it was either the fairies, but I think it's Bigfoot. So there you go. And that was my fun and excitement. But it felt really good when I got out of there. So I'm squirrely again. Hey! All right, what were you doing?
Oh my, she's hopped up on the woods again.
Yes!
Every time she goes into nature, she comes back a little squirrely. That's our girl. Let's see, I haven't really been... What I'm doing right now is what every, 45-year-old woman does on a Wednesday night. I'm sitting here eating ice cream, putting on a radio show. Isn't that what everybody does on a Wednesday night?
Really? Truly? Yeah. It's amazeballs.
It really is amazeballs. So, I really haven't done much this week at all. I did the paranormal pajama party at the Mounds Theater. That was a blasty blast. Lots of evidence. It was awesome.
And I noticed that your Facebook was hijacked.
Yes, my Facebook was hijacked because I had to order pizzas for everyone. So I'm like, oh, I'll quick check Facebook. And I left my computer open and Jenny and Chris got in there. At least it wasn't anything embarrassing like other people do.
Yeah. I told them to behave.
I know, I saw that. But, I mean, other than the paranormal pajama party, that's about it. I've led a pretty quiet week.
Oh, that's pretty boring.
I know.
So why don't we just jump on and just totally screw up everybody and do news right now?
Oh, my God, no. Shut up, really?
Okay, let's do it! It's news with Lisa! Go!
Oh, and scene. Okay, so my little news bit is adorable. In Germany, a treasure trove of pagan warlords was uncovered. Dun-dun-dun. By a badger. A badger found it. A rare find. It's so cute. A rare find of 12th century artifacts belonging to two medieval warlords has been discovered by a badger. The woodland creature unearthed the hoard of bronze bowls and arrowheads, an elaborate belt buckle shaped like a snake, and a huge double-edged sword in Germany. The animal kept the artifacts, which used to belong to a pair of Slavic lords in Set, which was later abandoned. Skeletal remains of the warlords were discovered along the objects near a town in the state of Brandenburg. Archaeologists were excited about the unusually burial site was pagan, yet dates from a time when Christianity was firmly rooted in the country. Okay, honestly, it's just ice cream. I'm not drinking liquor. I cannot talk. The badger's part in freeing the artifacts from the soil came to light when two sculptured... I'm just laughing at myself right now. I'm sorry. Sculpture artists spotted a bone while preparing a show near the animal's set, which has been abandoned. Lars Wilhelm and Hendrik Ring told the German news magazine Der Spiegel, the badger, is the one that discovered it. It wasn't them. We spotted the pelvic bone and had it dug up, and it was clearly human, and it wasn't exactly surprising to us because the whole field of ancient graves had been found on the other side of the road in the 1960s. So basically, this cute little badger dude found all this really fun stuff that was pagan, and they did retrieve all of the stuff and gave it to some museum, but it's just a cute story, and the little badger guy is cute. And I would go on and read the whole thing, but apparently I'm having issues, and Ashley needs to read the damn news.
Yeah, she does. So I'm going to do a quickie. It's a long one, but I'm going to be really quick because I'm really hyper here. Okay? And it's one. Ooh. Feedback. Okay. Religious people are less intelligent than atheists, concludes new study. Ooh. Is this a hot topic? Yes. Okay, a review of 63 scientific studies dating back to 1928 has concluded that religious people are less intelligent than non-believers. Oh, really? Tell me more. Only 10 of the 63 studies show a positive correlation between intelligence and religiosity. That must be a new word. The paper entitled The Relation Between Intelligence and Religiosity, Meta-Analysis and Some Whatever, Blah, 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 was led by Professor Myron Zuckerman of the University of Rochester. Zuckerman's team studied decades worth of analysis, noting many atheisms and in intellect studies share one central theme, the premise that religious beliefs are irrational, not anchored in science, not testable, and therefore unappealing to intelligent people who know better. Oh, the insults they fling. The study defined intelligence as the ability to reason, plan, solve problems, think abstractly, comprehend complex ideas, learn quickly, and learn from experience. Religiosity is defined as involvement in some or all facets of religion, which includes belief in supernatural, offering gifts to the supernatural, and performing rituals affirming their beliefs. I'm just going to stop there because it just really pisses me off. Because, you know, if you can't prove it, it must not be real. Okay. Thank you very much.
How do you really feel?
Yeah. I think I need to take a shower now because I'm too stupid to do much of anything. So at this point, why don't we take a break? And then we'll bring the amazing, fabulous Candy Airs on, yay, for our wisdom section. And yes, I'm hopped up. Thank you. See you in a little bit.
Reach out, touch faith. So
Welcome back, darlings. Now we've got our beautiful Candy Ayers, who is going to give us this week's information, or not information, but this week's ancient wisdom. Candy, what do you got for us, sweetheart?
Well, tonight, for this week, we have a quote by Johanna Wolfgang von Goethe. He says, magic is believing in yourself. If you can do that, you can make anything happen.
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
I think a lot of us have issues with letting ego tell us we can't do things, and we don't believe in ourselves, or we look outside ourselves for the magic.
So how would you say that we would go about that?
Well, we have to not second guess ourselves and believe in things when they happen and listen to our intuition. We tend to think, oh no, that can't be right, or that's wrong, and just don't listen. And I think that when we begin to believe in ourselves, and our power rises and our magic rises, and it just outpours, and then we see manifestations of it.
You know, just like spell work, if it's about intent, we've already talked about that, but it's also, if you don't believe that it's going to work, then it's not going to. So that kind of goes in with your own, what am I trying to say? You know what I'm trying to say, right? Where if you believe in yourself.
Your self-esteem?
Yeah.
I believe that, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I believe that that's very true, and I think that because all of us, when we were younger, were told that not to believe in things, or that's not true, or you didn't see that, then we begin to disbelieve ourselves, and then we have to rebuild and recreate what was taken away from us. And then by the time we do that, we're going, wow, we really can do all this awesome stuff. And then we're going, let's pass it on to the next generation, that they don't have to start as late in life as we did.
Oh, isn't that the truth? Wow.
Very true. I know when Alyssa was little and she was seeing spirits and all this stuff, I made sure that I didn't poo-poo her because I knew what she was seeing was real. So she was never jaded by that, oh, it's not real, and then losing it, you know.
She was very lucky because for most children, they are told they can't have playmates, you know, that they don't see, or imaginary friends, or they're not seeing that, and then they tend to start believing that they can't. So their third eye and their own spirituality closes down, and then they have to work on that in later years in life.
Yeah, and a lot of things that she was seeing, they were literally terrifying for her. So it would be like, oh, go in your room and be terrified. No, you know, unfortunately, I had my daughter sleeping in my room till she was 7 at the end of the bed. I had a bed for her at the end of the bed. And she slept in our room because she was always being, you know, bombarded with stuff.
That's another part of it, too. I think that we get bombarded when we were little, and then we close it off to protect ourselves, or our psyche closes it off to protect ourselves, and then it becomes a nature to say, no, that's not right. And then we learn later in life, oh, this can happen, and then we have to start rebuilding the pieces. Just recently, my grandson, who is 9, told my daughter that he was seeing another girl at school whenever he walked down this hall, and he would go back and check and she would be gone because she would wave at him, and nobody in school ever saw this little girl but him, and he was really confused. And so she said, oh, you need to talk to grandma.
Yeah, my daughter had a similar experience, and I made sure, because the school had questioned me about it, and thinking that maybe she needed to be medicated. And I'm like, no, she has seen spirits since she was little. She is not lying about what she's seeing. She described perfectly that the man who owned our house to the neighbor who knew him. And yeah, there's no way my daughter did not see what she was seeing. And I made sure the school knew that, and they didn't bother with bugging me with medication anymore.
But did they believe in you?
They had to have, because they didn't like me, because I was bossy.
That's just being a firm, confident female.
That is. I was a crone before I was a crone, baby.
You betcha. I think the first time I ever actually believed in my own magic is I made a wish spell for my daughter to find someone that knew exactly who she was, knew her and loved her for who she was and everything. And then about 6 months later, she called me and she had fallen in love with a guy who had known her for years. And one day they just kind of looked at each other and it was like, oh, wow. And it was really good because he knew all her secrets, all the ins and outs of Kimberly. And he loved her anyway. And it was just like, there was just a manifestation of it. It was just like, it's so empowering. And then the next spell is a little bit easier and a little bit easier. And then you're going, wow, this really works.
That's a great story. So how would we put this into our daily lives right now?
I believe for our daily lives right now, we have to kill the ego that says that we can't. And every time that word comes up, can't, we have to put out to the universe and to our own self as a mantra that we can, and believe in ourselves daily and hourly sometimes. And we have to make sure that we don't do the same thing to the next generation that's coming up of our little witchlings that are running around out there. But for our own selves, we have to just daily believe that we can do this and see the manifestation of it in our own life.
Would you say fake it until you make it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I mean, just because it takes, you know, change. I read somewhere, some study, and I can't back it up with anything, but it takes 21 days to change a habit. You know, that's what I meant by the fake it till you make it, until it gets to be past that 21-day mark, and then it's like, oh, this is real, this is normal, this is, you know what I mean?
Yes, I agree with that. I think the 21-day mark is very important, because even if we just taped it up on our mirror in the morning and just said it even just one time when we're getting ready in the morning, that the power that I have within me is real and the magic is real, and then just keep doing that mantra every day for 21 to 28 days, and then you'll see a change in everything within yourself.
I am so going to do that, and I'm going to start it today. See, that's why we have you as our wisdom person, because you are just wise beyond comprehension. And every single time I talk to you, I come away with something that is kind of life-changing. So I really appreciate you.
I appreciate y'all, because I have learned so much from Teresa and you that it's just wonderful. It just adds a new dimension to everything in my life.
You learned how to trip on things and walk into walls. That's what I teach. I'm so good at that.
And being naughty.
Being naughty. You see, y'all have added a dimension to my mind that is in the gutter already that was never there before.
Like, our show is all about helping people, by golly.
Well,
so we have brought new and amazing thoughts to your gutter.
not we.
Well, you too, you shark jumper. You know you jump shark.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, we're very squirrely.
She's been on
squirrel?
Nature. I'm eating ice cream. It's
she said squirrel. Yeah. I want to say shiny.
Shiny squirrels?
Shiny squirrels.
Did you buff your squirrel?
Okay. Now
okay.
We're
Oh, the visualizations.
I'm bringing us back. I'm the only responsible one on the team, damn it. Oh.
Well, we have to have a leader somewhere.
Oh, I'm not the leader. I'm just the responsible one.
She's the good cop, I'm the bad cop. That's just the way it works.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Well, that's a great thing, though.
All right, Candy, thank you so much for joining us and for your beautiful wisdom that you bestowed upon us tonight. We've got, right now, our current moon phase is a waning crescent. So we've got some delightful information for you about the waning crescent moon. We will be right back.
Hi, it's your fertility goddess, Rhonda, here again, here to offer you another metaphysical tip and trick to help you improve your metaphysical life. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about the waning moon and what a powerful tool that is to help us get rid of those things that no longer serve us. We make a lot ado about the new moon because that's when we put out our new intentions, what we want to bring into our life, and the full moon as it brings those things to fruition as the rays get even stronger. But we don't hear much about the waning moon. Now, I'm sure that many of you practicing metaphysicians already know about the power of the waning moon, but for those of you who do not, this little tutorial is here to teach you how to utilize that powerful energy. The same way that the waxing moon gets stronger and makes us stronger and brings our intentions into fruition, the waning moon allows us to remove those people, places, things, energies that are no longer serving our highest and best good. So, for example, you might be in a relationship that you know needs to end, but you really just don't know how to do it in a loving way, or you feel bound to this person for some reason, and you just can't seem to get out of your situation. Well, this is where we ask the waning moon to help us with those things. And also, the waning moon is a great way to get rid of our fear. You know, fear is probably the strongest weapon. It can defeat many of the things that you're trying to do. So if you have a fear of not getting a new job, not finding a new love, not having enough money, if you have doubts, because doubts is number two on the devastation list, if you doubt that your magic is going to work, or you've just been so inundated with negativity that you doubt that it's ever going to change, put that on the list and ask the waning moon to take that away from you. So what you're going to do is you'll make your list of the people, places, things, energies, whatever it is that you need to remove from your life. And always, if it's a person, you always want to say safely and harmlessly remove, because you wouldn't want them to, like, you know, fall down and break their neck or anything. We never want to harm anyone. We just want to gently remove the situation in a loving way. So make your list and create a mini universe to hold it in. Now, there's another YouTube of mine that will teach you how to make a mini universe, so you can just look that up if you don't know how to make one. So now that you've made your list of all those things that you're trying to remove from your life, you place that in your circle along with a white 7-day candle, if you can hopefully get one of those, because you want to try to keep it burning as long as possible. And whenever we ask for anything, it's always good also to give an offering. You can offer a glass of wine, or even in this case, water, because water is the element of the moon, so you can put it next to your list. And it's good to say thank you and offer something if you can. And it could be a cookie or anything that you can offer just to say thank you as a token of your appreciation. So once you have that done, you light your candle and you place your hands around it and you address the moon. Now, I'm just giving you a general words to say. You can phrase this in your own wording, in your own way. I'm just trying to give you just a little guide. So anyway, placing your hands around the candle to empower it. You can say something like this: "My darling sister moon, you who represent the divine mother, the divine feminine, please, I have need of thee. As you wane, please take away those things, those people, those places, those energies that are adverse to me and block me from achieving my goals, sending them into the light to be healed and resolved as I am healed from them, and restoring my divine peace, serenity, and confidence in a bright and happy future." So it is. And you see, I went up because we're removing those adverse things, and we come down to bring us the peace and serenity that the moon promises us as the nurturing divine feminine. And the reason you want to first use the waning moon to get rid of those adverse things before you even start your new intentions with the new moon is because the same way you wouldn't want to put your clean, freshly cleaned laundry on top of dirty clothes in your hamper, you want to clean out your own vessel. You are the vessel. You want to clean out those adverse things, that dirty laundry, so to speak, so that you're now a clean vessel to have all those wonderful things come into your life that you're trying to bring into it. So this is your fertility goddess, Rhonda, here again. Hopefully this has helped you. Please share it with a friend, and please visit my website at www.healinghannahgoddess.com. And thank you. Namaste.
Yeah.
tonight we have the, for your ultimate pleasure, amazing Harmony Green. And Harmony is a spiritual doula. She does harmonic mentorship programs. She does retreats. And she's the ambassador for the Pink Hearts, who are the empaths of the world. Welcome to the show, Harmony.
Thank you. What a great introduction. I'm going to make you say that again later.
And I will probably forget what I said.
Good thing it's taped. Yes. Thank you. I'm very honored to be here, ladies.
So I know you have, you're the ambassador of the Pink Hearts. Can you tell us more about the Pink Hearts?
I can. I'll give you the condensed version, but basically these are people that started kind of coming to my doorway and showing up at All About the Journey and a center I had prior to that as well. As you mentioned, these people are highly empathic, and I think one of them might be speaking with me on the phone right now. And are very, very, full of love and a love from a pure, universal place. So what we have ascertained and figured out over the years of all of us being together is that it's a tough place to navigate, this planet Earth that we find ourselves on. So basically this group of amazing people, have come here to help, vibe up the rest of the planet to a pure love vibration. That's kind of it in a nutshell. I say we because I've been vibed up through process. I started as an aqua energy from the ocean. But pink energy people are here to assist the vibe up of the planet to a pure love vibration. So then other energies that are here can also vibe up our total vibration into, a higher realm of understanding, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And people who are new to figuring out that they are empathic.
Why don't you explain what empathic is, just for our few listeners that may not know what that means?
Oh, definitely, yes. So being empathic means that very basically at the foundation of it is that you feel things very strongly. We all have different ways of attaining our intuitive information. Empathic people feel, clairsentience, they feel and pick up sometimes the energies of other people. So if someone says to you, I feel you, I know what you're saying. I walk into a room and I can feel the vibe in the room and I know if it's good or bad. Or I meet a person and I get a feeling about them right away. That's probably an empathic person that you're speaking with, or you might be yourself.
So and very I, much like Teresa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For one, cannot be in large groups of people. Like, I avoid malls, I avoid Christmas rush, because I pick up on everybody's crap.
Yep.
And it's very hard, and it gets overwhelming, and we tend to get, before we figure out what we are, we get depressed, and we tend to isolate ourselves and pull away. But, I could be sitting in my house and still pick up on crap from the neighbors.
Yes, and I know of stories about you where you've picked up on things hosts away and even from energies that are no longer walking the plane physically and that kind of thing. So it's a very powerful place to be. It just you have to learn how to navigate it,
yeah.
Especially in a lower vibing plane that we find ourselves here on the planet right now. Although the vibrations are rising and I have a lot of interesting process coming in with the newness that I'm going to be doing with all of my mojo revamped. So a pink-hearted person is someone who's living a human existence right now and is here to assist other people on this planet to vibe up to a pure love vibration. And this pure love comes from Grandmother Moon and Father Sky and other energies called the Earth Dwellers that I work with, and also the Peace Bringers, who I believe are now here and are actually pink energy coming through and channeling.
So if someone is having all of those empathic abilities and it's overwhelming for them, where do they go do you teach them how to handle it and how to lock it out or embrace it? How does that work?
All of the above. We basically, it's kind of a mentorship situation that I get into with them. So I've been named the ambassador from Grandmother Moon. So I'm here to kind of be the Fisher person, you know. People are led towards me that own this vibrant energy. And actually, I'm learning there's 5 different energies here on the planet that are starting to knock on my door. So it's getting a little noisy up on over here, you know what I'm saying? But yes, they can contact me at connect@allowharmony.com. That's my email. Teresa knows how to get a hold of me, but I also have a website which will be going through some revamp, and it's allowharmony.com. And then they can contact me through the website as well. So
your URL is beautiful.
Oh, thank you. I got lucky on that one.
So you mentioned 5 different energies that are coming through. What are they?
Well, there's the pink energy, which I call moon angels. Okay. There are dragons. There are unicorns. There are mermaids. And why am I forgetting the other one? Phoenixes. So all of these energies have started to show up after the pink energy came. And I just recently, over the last year, I've started to understand who all of these energies are. And I have met people of each ilk, so to speak. And again, we're talking about a vibration. So, you know, this person walking around who has that unicorn energy doesn't look like a unicorn. But I have had verifications that there have been past, I don't know if it's past lives or if it's actually just past connection. To me, it's like a melding of DNA vibrationally. And so I'm learning who these people are. It's kind of a character study. And of course, there's all of us that break the mold. You know, you're going to have the rebel unicorn showing up and that kind of thing. with a black horn and studs on it or something. But, you know, it's interesting, to me that this is my reality. You know, this is my, every day that these amazing people and creatures are coming to me and are saying that, you know, we are here to assist the plight of the planet right now. Not just the humans, but the stones and the rocks and the water and the trees and the plants and everything, because it's all connected, as we know. So we're kind of in this great gathering happening right now. So I feel very humbled and honored to be doing what I'm doing, and I'm still figuring out what it is that I am doing.
So what would a unicorn energy, what would be, what type of person?
Well, a unicorn is very pure from a almost a glowing individual. So the color around them is going to be like a white or a very, you know, kind of like the crown chakra color.
Uh-huh.
The kind of person that it's a different energy than pink energy. Pink energy is pure love. Okay. Unicorns are pure everything. So in all vibration. So basically it's that person that you want to draw close to and just like become one with. Have you ever met anyone like that? People say, oh my gosh, I can't get enough of her. I can't get enough of him. I just need to be around him. And not from any kind of a energy vampire status or anything. It's just like you gravitate towards them because you almost float over to them. I don't know how else to explain it. And I'm just learning about them specifically. But there's one woman that, if I'll tell a really quick story, she came to see me about 2 years ago, maybe a little more. And as I'm working with her and she's telling me about her physical ailments, that's one other thing I should say. Most of these people in this vibrational categories have some kind of physical ailment. Their body just does not fit in this place. So she was telling me about her joints and especially her ankles and her wrists. And I got this vision of a unicorn and I said to her, oh, so you're a unicorn. And she looked at me like, yeah, what are you taking or what's wrong with you? You know, and everything. And can I have some? No, not really. And we, you know, we made it through the session. A lot of things that I said to her made sense and everything. And I said, you know, just tell me how you walk around with this unicorn thing. She sent me an email the next day that she had shared with her mom, hey, so this crazy lady thinks I'm a unicorn. And her mom said, okay, I need you to sit down. I have to tell you something. She says, when you were a baby, or I'm sorry, when I was pregnant with you, I had a dream, one of those lucid dreams people talk about where, you know, it seemed like a dream, but it was way too real to be a dream. And I'm walking in this forest, kind of enchanted forest thing, and I turn a corner, and here's a unicorn looking at me. And this is her mom saying this. And the unicorn, you know, spoke to me kind of telepathically, and I don't remember exactly what we said, but then the unicorn sent this energy into my belly. And she said, now I can finally tell you the story. And I always get kind of teary when I think about it, because it was so cool to have that confirmation. And the mom was able to finally say something, because, you know, she must have thought she was a little kooky or something.
That is a beautiful story.
Yeah, yeah. Now, so that's, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm just zipping through.
You go ahead.
But I just want to make sure that we get in that you have a current retreat that's coming up.
I do, honey. Thank you. Yes.
And can you tell us about your retreat, please?
I can. So I went off on a silent retreat myself. I have to do this or I go crazy wonky and I can't live my life here. So I finally got away to the woods and I knew I was going to get lots of information about my next step. So honor silence, people, honor stillness, go and be and listen to yourself and your guides. So when I came back from that, I knew that I was going to be changing my gig. I'm closing the physicality of All About the Journey, and I am taking my mentorship clients into the woods. So I will be doing that at a place called Shire in the Woods, which used to be Dwelling in the Woods. The website is Shire, S-H-I-R, in the woods.com. In McGrath, Minnesota. It's coming up on September 27th through the 29th. And, you know, I can tell you this. I'm going to be sharing this on my own show on Sunday. But if anybody wants to come, I only have room for 7 people. I'm giving a $50 discount to anyone who signs up by September 10th. And basically, that would be $250 then instead of $300.
And I can tell you personally, I've been there.
Yes.
And it is the most awesome place in the world, and I would love to live there permanent.
Yes, and maybe you can. Who knows? They actually, Teresa came on a little retreat that I did a couple of years ago, and we all had a great time together. And they've revamped it. They've opened some of the homes that weren't open before, so there's room for like 27 people now throughout the whole place, and they're bringing horses out now too. So, yep. So I'm so excited about that. And I feel like I'm going to be more connected in some way. And I guess just, you know, just having the opportunity to have my regular retreats out there. So, yeah, if anyone wants to check it out, even on your own, if you're looking for that stillness or silence, that'd be a great place to go. But basically, I'll be doing individual sessions with everyone that's there. And then we'll have group sessions, and there'll be lots of time for inner peaceful work on your own. So what's happening is the mentorship program is just kind of getting more intense, and we're taking it into the shamanic place of the woods. And because of that, I've changed my little tag, and I'm actually a shamanic doula. I'm owning that now. So instead of just spiritual. So I've got a lot of stuff going on.
You do?
Yeah.
So if you want to reserve your space, the phone number I think is 612-354-2149. Correct?
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm. Or you can email me again at connect@allowharmony.com. And I would love, if you feel led to come, please do. It will be life-changing for you, I promise. We're going to look at these 5 energies, and we're going to look at which vibrations you might be carrying around. So it's going to get real deep and real, more intense, but more comforting, I believe.
I was just going to say, Harmony, thank you so much for coming on our show tonight. You are just, wow. I really want to go to a retreat.
Well, ladies, I thank you for the opportunity, and I love you guys. I want to see you guys too. So let's get together in the physical, okay?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So thank you for listening to the Sit a Spell Show with Teresa and Lisa. It has been a super fun show. T, thanks so much for just being squirrely and bubbly and crazy.
Oh, and thank you for being the good cop.
So remember, you are all so important, and you are amazing and perfect in absolutely every single way. Go out and make a difference in somebody else's life, even if it's just making some person smile. Believe me, it makes a big difference, and it could be life-changing for them. Remember to always, 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 my darlings, take back your light. Blessed be.
Black color liner, and I'm working my strut, but I know That would be the only thing I'd ever need. Yeah, if I had you, the money, fame, and fortune never could compete. If I had you.
Cityspell is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.